back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Broadcast regulators are still reviewing the tape from the first half hour, so we're in the clear to a close out Sabres. I mean,
is it the FCC in the U.S.? I know it's the
Canada, basically irrelevant and useless CRTC in Canada. So yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Anyway, I won't go down that path, but they still frustrate me to no end. Anyway, a wild start to our show in the first half hour, and continuing input from our audience on social as to how Marty's hair should look with his new cut tonight, like a mohawk painted blue. Oh my God, that would be amazing if you rolled in tonight with that.
Somebody said a Sabres logo shaved in one side of the head and 43 on the other side. And I'll tell you this, I won't do anything crazy for today, but when it comes time to Bald for Bucks again this year, mm-hmm. Last year I came up with dark brown, like hair completely crazy. Massive. I think I may get stuff shaved into my head so that when we shave it, it comes normal again. But I think I may go color and shave different things in there, like a kid. Like, how kids get that done for, like, the weekend or whatever? Mm-hmm. I may do that for Bald for Bucks. I'm getting some great ideas right now.
Will you be able to answer this spontaneous trivia question among our broadcast peers in the last couple of years? Mm-hmm. The hint is Western Conference. Can you name the former NHLer turned analyst who does regularly wear a mohawk? And it is colored. He might not be on this year. My guess is he's still on there sporadically.
No, I cannot name
Mark
that
Smith,
person.
San Jose, is punk rock Oakland scene.
Yes.
And it's awesome. And
the guy I had in my mind is Darren McCarthy, because he wore the red like mohawk and goatee mm-hmm. against the Shoresy crew. So that's who I was thinking about.
A good poll.
And then I'm
well.
Like, he's not doing TV and it's not Western Conference. So that's, I lost my track.
Yeah. Lots of hockey today. Some of it starting now. Here's one. Will in the NHL's quest to have broadcast exclusivity for the Winter Classic today,
yes.
starting at 5, allegedly, will we infringe upon the Winter Classic window tonight when our pregame begins at 7:30?
Well, I'm no Pat Hammer, and I don't have a meteorologist degree to back me up, but I'm looking at the map and the projection, and it looks like it may stop raining at about 4:30 in Chicago, some rain and snow mix or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So if I was the NHL, I'd give it a little bit of time. You're not going to go on for warm-up at 4:30 if it's just about to stop raining. You're going to give it another hour. So I think, look, their broadcast window is 5 to 8, whatever. Yes, it will infringe. I think that game probably doesn't start until 6 mm-hmm. unless there's somebody with really, really big fans out there that's blowing off that rain quickly. And by 3 it stops raining, they'll get off at 5. But if it's still raining or snowing at 4, they'll wait a little bit.
You know it's being played in the Windy City, correct?
Yes. But also, that wind sometimes brings more bad stuff than clears out the rain, right? So,
has the Winter Classic become a regional telecast / phenomenon?
I think it was always, and I'm not saying always because the first one was exciting. And then there was a couple of like, oh, this is cool. But the NHL and the teams that are taking part in it, like St. Louis, we were in St. Louis, Duffer. We saw the old emergency backup, the E-Bug from the St. Louis Blues came and said hi from a few years back. He's actually taking his family from St. Louis to Chicago to go to the Winter Classic. We were in the airport in St. Louis yesterday morning. There were some St. Louis people wearing St. Louis Blues stuff traveling to Chicago to go to the Winter Classic. I think it's great for the teams involved. Mm-hmm. I think the casual fan is going to turn it on, check it out. But people, if you ask me, where was the Winter Classic last year and 2 years ago and who won it? I don't recall it. I can mm-hmm. tell you who won the Stanley Cup and what happened. Mm-hmm. But the Winter Classic is becoming just another game, a mm-hmm. bigger game for the regions. Mm-hmm. And for Chicago and St. Louis, it's great. Mm-hmm. When the Sabres were in it, it's awesome. But the rest of the league is like, hey, we have other games. We have other things we're doing on New Year's Eve. So, yeah, I think it's a fun event, but it's way more regional than, you know, any other big events that the other sports are doing.
Do you know who's playing tomorrow?
Tomorrow?
Yeah, on New Year's Day, when the Winter Classic used to happen.
I don't have a clue. I'm looking at today. That's it for me. I don't know who's playing tomorrow.
New Jersey and L.A.
That's indoors. The only game tomorrow?
Indoors.
Oh, yes. That's the only game tomorrow. Wow, I didn't even know there was tomorrow. Only one game on New Year's Day.
Exclusivity, baby. Make it national. Drum it up. Let's go. Preview of the Stanley Cup Final. What are the odds?
That is weird that they only have one game on New Year's Day, and that is the game that they decide to have.
It's a good matchup.
It is on NHL Network, by the way, for those matchup. Who
care. The Devils are very good. You say this repeatedly.
Oh, yeah.
Los Angeles has been very good. They're 12-4-2 in their last 18 games. Like, pretty good matchup. I hope it gets some attention.
I used to but love it's playing gonna on get New Year's lost Day. And I get it. It's not everybody likes it because you'd like to be up a little later on New Year's Eve and be with your family, go to bed at 12:30, and then you have a game the next day. But I can still recall January 1st, 2000, the turn
Toronto,
of the millennium.
Baby. Oh.
I remember because I was living at the old Residence Inn on Maple Road in Williamsville because I had got called up in late October for the Sabres. Dominic Kashuk was hurt. We started at the Marriott in Williamsville, and then we moved to the Residence Inn. Maxim Finneganov at this place next to mine, Corey Sarich at this place on the other side. We're like all three of us with the loft and everything. It was awesome. My family came in. We had people over, you know, New Year's Eve. It's the new millennium. Woo, it's awesome. Oh, we have a game tomorrow. Let's go to bed. And then the next day, I made 17 saves on 18 shots, and we beat Toronto 8-1. Ingrid Chatan, Miro Chatan's wife, sang the national anthem at Center Ice in an opera-style big gown. It was amazing. Like, I still recall, like, okay. Like, people around the world don't know that we beat the Leafs that day. I remember it, and the fans remember it. It's kind of like, that was our Winter Classic that day. That was a moment that you'll always remember.
Unbelievable. It was only a year and a half later that I started working at Leafs TV, and my primary analyst, one of, was Glenn Healy.
Oh, he got in that game too.
And he could never let that day go. The bloodbath, or like the, what was it? What was his phrase for it? It was
6-1 when he got in. It's like, he's like, seriously, I got to go in now? Like, come on, Cujo got pulled, yes.
Yeah, it was clearly one of the most embarrassing games he'd ever been a part of in his life, and therefore, like, you know, he just couldn't let it go. So anytime Buffalo and Toronto, it was just, you know, very top of mind. That's wild about Miro's wife doing the anthem and all that.
Yeah, she was an opera singer, so she had done the singing before, but that particular day, it was pretty cool. The arena was completely pitch dark, right? With one single spot on her at center ice. And then on the Jumbotron, the video scoreboard, they replayed all the fireworks from everywhere in the world. Because if you recall, like on New Year's Eve.
That's right. Yeah.
It's 6 o'clock at night, but in Paris, it's midnight. So the Eiffel Tower has got fireworks. And then there's every hour they're showing it. And they got basically a montage of all of it. It was pretty cool. And yes, that Erik Rasmussen had a hat trick. A couple goals that game. Finneganov had 2 goals. Stu Barnes had a couple goals as well. It was it was a bloodbath.
Keep in mind, this is New Year's Day 2000, right?
Yes.
So you're at that point 6.5 months past beating Toronto in the playoffs.
Yes.
In the only matchup ever in postseason history.
Conference
between
finals.
These two. Yes. Like, people need to remember how high the intensity was here, right? Like,
we didn't have a great start to the year that year. We were playing .500 hockey at that moment. The Leafs, like, I look at their record, they were 23-10-6 at that moment. The Leafs had a great start to the season. Like, oh, we'll show Buffalo what we got. Then they came in and we spanked them.
Yep. Amazing. Thank you for that. Those are good
Rob
memories.
Ray and Ty Domi got into what was a fight, but they didn't really call it a fight. They call it a roughing, whatever. It just was, you know.
So, like, what do you expect tonight with Buffalo and Dallas? And we're not expecting any lineup changes for the Sabres. You know, they've won three in a row. Again, it's the quest for their first four-game win streak of the year. You mentioned the fact that there's a lot of other games going on. You can only control what you're doing at this point. And that has to be and will be undoubtedly the mindset going forward. But like, what do you expect based on having played Dallas earlier this year, whether that's completely irrelevant, how the game went against St. Louis, which is number one, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen was in fact number one, best player for the Sabres without question. Yes. And he'll go again looking for a personal four-game win streak. So what do you expect tonight?
What I expect is that I have liked what I've seen out of Quinn, his ability to shoot the puck, his quickness, like what he's done. So I expect that the Quinn-Cousins-Paterka line is going to get a favorable matchup. I think if you're Dallas and Pete DeBoer, you're looking at let's counter Tuck and Thompson and Zucker. Let's really put like everything in a hard matchup against them. So Miro Heiskanen, whatever, like that defense core for Dallas is going to be, you know, paying close attention to Thompson. But then that should free up, in my opinion, that should free up Cousins, Quinn, Paterka to be able to get more. And I want them to have that one game where you say, hey, you know what? We were on the road and we knew that maybe it was going to be tougher for, you know, Thompson and Tuck to produce. You guys came through. That is the key to the success of the Sabres against Dallas tonight.
Okay. Do you think that, and the only reason I'm putting it out there this way is outside of the Benson, Kulik, Krebs line.
Yep.
Nobody had good analytics against the Blues. Like all the other lines were like, holy cow, they spent a lot of time giving up shots.
It was 12-5 were the offensive zone possession time after two periods, 12 minutes to 5 minutes. That was bad.
Which was a very big number, very noticeable for us. Yeah. So there's a couple ways to look at it. It's really fun, I think, right now, watching Benson, Kulik, and Krebs. Yeah. Like, we hadn't seen it before. It seems like they might have something here in a small window and hopefully bigger.
I hope so.
Quinn, on the other hand, has three straight multiple point games.
Mm-hmm.
Kick the analytics for his line to the curb from Sunday. The point is, if you're going to get players of his skill set going, there has to be a belief that he can still do it. And that belief wasn't there, seemingly, for a long time this year. What does three straight multiple point games for Jack Quinn mean to him right now?
Well, it has to feel a lot better, but it shows that, number one, he's paid attention. I have seen so many moments in games where Jack Quinn has the puck at the blue line and could have forced a play or could have tried something that's not there, and he chooses against it. That's number one. Like Lindyrov's going to pay attention to that. You have to. And then you're producing. Yes, he has three multiple two-point games like in the last three games. But he also has 8 points in the last seven games because he had two goals against Toronto in Toronto. And that was his first game back where he scored on the power play. And so think of it as, okay, I get it. Jack Quinn has had a tough start this season. But his impact offensively could make this team get on a 5-6-7 game streak. If you don't get Jack Quinn, you can't get there. If you don't have Benson, you can't get, if you don't have Cousins, you can't get there. But if you do, then all of a sudden, woo, you know, we won three, we won four. Hey, let's go into Colorado, win five. Let's go into Vegas, win six. Let's come back home, win seven. It makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm. It seemingly does. Obviously, the record speaks for itself. Three straight two-point games, three straight wins for Buffalo. And, well, we have one opportunity, one final segment where I maybe will get an answer from you to the question, what is goaltender interference?
Oh.
That and some special birthdays when we come back on Sabres Live.